He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It is the April 7th edition of Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. Well, we've got interest rates behaving themselves today, but the market pretty flat today. After a flat consolidation day yesterday, I did notice, however, I observed a lot of the former momentum names, the Shopify's, the Pelotons of the world. They had one of their better days in a long time yesterday. And they have at least leveled off into sideways trends. They had a little pop yesterday. That needs to follow through from a technical point of view, number one. Number two, they're still extremely expensive, but we will visit some of those here today later in the show. Right now we have the Dow up 30 points, 33,459. Not too far from its all-time high. The S&P is up 4 at 4,077, not too far from its all-time high. The NASDAQ is up 10 today, 13,708, which is about 400 points from its all-time high. The Russell 2000 Small Cap Index down 4-tenths of 1% today. Crude oil down 26 cents, back under 60, 59.07. Gold continues to go nowhere, down $4 per ounce to $17.38. Silver going nowhere, $25.11. You've got the 10-year clear back to 1.65. So it's down about 10 basis points from its recent high. That helped the market last Friday, but it looks like we're having another consolidation day today. And Bitcoin down 1,930 to 56,823. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know what? I looked at a lot of charts yesterday looking for something, you know. I am pretty invested in the market right now, maybe 25% cash, somewhere in there, 20 to 25% overall. Definitely I have a big value tilt these days as opposed to the more momentum tilt I had earlier this year, as we saw a massive rotation in the market as interest rates started to rise and people started cashing in on oversized gains on a lot of those momentum names. They went up further than they should have gone, way further than they should have gone. And they have been having their comeuppance ever since. The electric vehicle sector, especially the EV sector, as I look at that, you know, with the bellwether stock Tesla, but you get down into that second and third tier of EV stocks, those charts look horrible. There has been a massive correction that has taken place in that sector over the last 6 weeks. The two standout charts to me yesterday that I saw were Starbucks and GM. Neither one meets my valuation criteria, however. So we had a three-day win streak. It was snapped yesterday. Today, we'll see. The market is waffling right now. We're going to get the Fed minutes today. That's always interesting. Now, who's the poor guy that's got to read through the Fed minutes? That's going to be exciting reading, you know. Good for insomnia, for sure. We'll get a report from someone, a few people today, on those Fed minutes and exactly what was in them. It's more like Fed hours, right? We'll see what the Fed has to say. You know, everybody's pricing in a very good second half of this year. The problem is the market's already priced that in. if we didn't learn our lesson from last March, a year ago, a little over a year ago, when I kept saying, look, the market's looking down the road, 12 to 18, even 24 months, when things look the bleakest. If it was true then, okay, now you look back on that, what did the market do back in March? It took off and went on a one-year run, despite the economy being closed down for a long period of time, either fully or, 50%, 60%, 80%. The market priced in what we're seeing today, all right? So if it was true then, well, it's absolutely true today. The market has already priced in the next 12 to 18 months from now. And it's looking clear out to the second half of 2022, not the second half of this year. That's been discounted in the market long ago. Well, nevertheless, global growth forecast to raise to 6% this year. That's the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. They're optimistic about global growth this year. But you know what? Look, let's put it in perspective. We're having a false recovery from a false recession, right? I mean, we had a recession brought about by shutting down the economy. And now as the economy starts back up, that's called a recovery. But again, those two things were almost completely tied to the COVID outbreak. I heard about Paulson. Paulson was on CNBC this morning. He's claiming that we're going to make $200 per share this year in earnings. There ain't no way that's going to happen. He thinks that we're going to see 8% growth. Well, you know what? Even if that happens, the target price for this year for the S&P was 4,000. We've already reached that and gone beyond that. So obviously, market looking ahead, 12 months, probably more like 18 to 24 months down the road. That's where I focus with my macro outlook in the newsletter, which isn't as bright as it was 12 months ago. You have to really find those sectors of the market and those individual stocks that make sense from valuation point of view. But going back into those winners from last year, that does not seem to be the ticket right now. I'm going to watch those stocks that rallied yesterday, see if there's any follow-through today. There's a few that maybe I could be talked back into. We'll see. Well, there was $222 billion injected into ETFs in the Q1 of this year. I got to believe a lot of that was in the first quarter. But, you know, when I look at where most of the money went, it seemed to be chasing value. The value funds were on the receiving end. They received a lot. And, of course, on the outflow side of things, I got to believe that the bond funds. What were the best performing ETFs since the beginning of the year? Small cap value, small cap core, mid cap value. That's been the sweetest spot in the market so far here in 2021. Okay, now here's a counter view. Now this goes along Citigroup. I know J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, he was also out with some very bullish comments about the economy. But as I've said, that bullish economy in the second half of this year has long been discounted. It was being discounted last March, a year ago. It's here. Now we're looking ahead way down the road. This is more in line with what I see. Citigroup sees a risky 1999 vibe to market action. Well, that's what I saw in January. It's eased somewhat right now. But they see a lot of comparisons. Now, were you around in 1999? Were you in the market? Did you have your 401k in the market? Were you managing money in 1999 and 2000? Were you managing your own portfolios? That was probably the most memorable market time during my career in the market as a professional money manager. Seeing that bull run you know, at the end of the Clinton years, and seeing the tech stocks in particular, as we were going through revolutions in the television space, in the, you know, videos going online and streaming. We were going through revolutions in the computer networking, and also the telephone was starting to change, etc. There was a lot of huge winners. That was probably the biggest time for new innovation and new disruptors in a long, long time. Now, we've had a lot since then, but how did that 1999-2000 end up? Stocks got way too expensive. We're almost at that level once again now, which I want to talk about when we come back. And I agree, there is an overall market valuation risk here, very similar to 1999. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 7, the 10-year down at 1.66 right now, S&P up 5 points right now, and you've got the NASDAQ right now up 18. So very, very cautious kind of day here in the market. Now, I want to continue on. This is Citigroup. This is Tobias Lefkowitz, okay, who I usually am pretty simpatico with what he has to say. Him and I seem to see the market the same way. I know there was an interview with Jim Paulson on CNBC this morning. He was very, very bullish on the market at this level. Well, I want you to listen very carefully to what Tobias Lefkowitz has to say, because this is pretty much my overall sentiment. Now, that doesn't mean there's not good buys out there. That doesn't mean there's ways to make money in this market. It's good to be unconstrained. I am unconstrained. I'm not married to high-tech, disruptive types of stocks. I'm not married to small-cap value. I don't have to be fully invested in the market. I can put in inverse ETFs if I feel like that's right, the right thing to do at any given point in time. I'm unconstrained. And it also brings up the whole active versus passive. I believe that at some point in time, passive investors will get bowled over. And before they know it, you know, being passive wasn't too good. It's not good to be passive if there's a freight train coming down the railroad tracks and you're standing on those tracks. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I would just rather be active rather than passive and be nimble and move if I have to. I was able to unload most of my momentum type tech stocks in the month of February, and they've gone down a lot more since I sold them, and I cashed in on some very, very big profits because I got in a year ago. Now, listen very carefully to what Tobias Lefkowitz has to say here. With the S&P 500 now above its expected trading range, this is what they expected at the beginning of the year, of 36,000 to 4,000. That was their range for this year. And obviously we're currently at 4,080. Citigroup strategists are worried that a 1999.com vibe is arising. Well, I have to be honest. I felt that vibe in January. And when I started to see technical charts start to level off and start to begin to curl over, that vibe led me to say, you know what, it's time to cash in here on this particular area of the market. Now, Lefkowitz goes on to say, noting bubble territory, price to sales is well above peaks of late 1999, early 2000. All right. Who's the guy who's been saying you've got to really watch your valuations in this market? Price to sales is just one of the valuation measures. The four common valuation measures are PE ratio, price to earnings, price to sales, price to book value, price to cash flow, and I would add in forward PE ratios and PEG ratios. So I'm looking at a chart here of where price to sales ratios were in 1999 and 2000. We have gone above that and then some. That is very worrisome. The average price to sales of stocks out there is in bubble territory, especially when it comes to these companies, a lot of them which don't even have any sales yet or any earnings yet. And there was tremendous run-ups in those stocks in January, and I think that helped to bring that that price-to-sales ratio way up. Now, there are some. There's been books written about which is the most important valuation ratio. And there is one guy that wrote a book, I'm trying to think of his name, where he just focused on price-to-sales. His study showed that price-to-sales was the most important of the valuation ratios. So what should be a reasonable price to sales ratio in this kind of a market right now? Well, you know, 1 to 3, 1, 2, or 3, somewhere there, 1x sales, 2x sales, maybe 3, and then above that you're getting into la-la land. Okay, now, wait a minute, we're not done yet. Citigroup goes on to say sentiment is in a very worrisome territory, as is valuation. That's what I've been saying. We've got a forward PE on the market of 30 right now. That is not sustainable. Yet money flows continue to push indices higher, says Tobias Lefkowitz. Huge fiscal stimulus and supportive central banks have created the notion of there being no need to be risk-adverse. Lefkowitz goes on to name four main warning signs. There's 1999-like pressure for fund managers to participate in rising stocks, even if it could end badly. That's number one. Number two, the investment community is too upbeat, with no concern for tax hikes. You hear that? That's what I've been warning about. It's going to have an impact on earnings for the S&P 500, and it's going to shoot the S&P 500 forward PE even higher when they start to price in the coming tax hikes. Number three, an acceleration in foreign and individual investors buying stocks usually comes late in rallies, not early. Well, if you look at the SPACs and the meme stocks and the crypto stocks in January, that usually comes at the end of a cycle. I warned about that in January. I was making fun of the SPACs coming public. What's next? You know, a SPAC being brought out by Bozo the Clown? I don't know. It was athletes, it was musicians, whoever bringing out SPACs. And he goes on to say, this is number four, the hurdle for companies to top forecasts is getting significantly elevated, and we doubt there's much room for disappointment. Well, I'm watching, you know, earnings forecasts have been going higher as we've been coming out of the pandemic, but I've noticed that they've started to level off, and we're starting to even see some lower earnings forecasts going forward. And we haven't even begun to account for the coming tax hikes. Well, he does have a little bit. Jamie Dimon said that the economic boom will continue into 2023. I'm in agreement with that, but it's priced in. Jamie Dimon also called stock valuations quite high and said there was some froth and speculation in parts of the market. That's all I can say as a professional money manager. With the responsibility over a lot of money under management and a lot of households and retirees, I am just glad that I am unconstrained. I'm not forced to be fully invested. I do see a big valuation risk in the overall market right now. I'm also happy that I can be a stock picker and I don't have to buy these big indexes, which are going to be... And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, I'm just going to prove in the last quarter of the show when I do my featured stock of the day, there's still some outstanding examples of Best Stocks Now, despite a lofty market valuation right now. We've got a little lift under the market. The Dow's up 29, and the NASDAQ is now up 33, S&P up 7, so it has improved a little bit since the start of the show. Now, here's the weird story of the day. All right, are you ready for the weird story of the day? Are masks here to stay? Honeywell thinks so. You know, I hate masks. I really do. My wife does not like wearing a mask. We can't wait till this is all over. Well, Honeywell says that people will keep using protective gear like facial coverings long after the pandemic. And Honeywell has got a new product called Supermask, a high-tech and Bluetooth-enabled face mask. Goes on sale today for $299. I think I'll get my wife one for Mother's Day. You know, she'll love it. With features including LED lights, three-speed fans, noise-canceling headphones, and Honeywell HEPA-certified filters. Well, Honeywell argues that people wear sneakers even though they don't play basketball. We've long looked at shoes as protective gear. Anyway, the mask should have the same type of attention to detail, love, and care, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, where can you get your $300 super mask? Check with Honeywell. Applied Materials stock drops after three-year outlook, sending peers lower. Well, that kind of brought a little bit of a pause. We've had a huge run-up in the semiconductor equipment makers. And Applied Materials I featured a couple times on the show. I've had ASM Lithography featured on the show. That's the one of the ones we continue to own. And others, you know, there's a semiconductor shortage, especially in the auto sector. I noticed some pretty good action in AMD stock yesterday. It is perking up a little. But Applied Materials sent out a three-year outlook yesterday that was a little less than expected. And it did bring these scorching stocks. They cooled them off a little bit here over yesterday. I see Lam Research hitting a new high today, however, so it could be okay. What's the current state of the bond market? Well, let me just give you one example here. I don't see a lot of bond offerings these days. Bloomin' Brands. You want to get 5.25% on your money right now? The problem is Bloomin Brands is not a Best Stock Now, so it wouldn't fit our criteria. But, of course, Bloomin Brands is Outback Steakhouse, Bonefish Grill, you've got Italian, Carrabba's, etc. Well, Bloomin Brands, $300 million worth of notes if you want them, 5.25%. So that's... to get up into the fours and the fives, you've got to really step down in quality. If you think Bloomin' Brands will be around in 2029, 8 years down the road, and people still wanting to go to Outback, you can get 5.125% on those bonds. Kohl's opens its sixth e-commerce fulfillment center to meet growing online demand. You know, earnings are really turning around. Kohl's. We kind of wondered if Kohl's would survive, KSS. And, of course, they kind of, like everybody else, started really developing their online capabilities. And apparently it has been a success. Now, I looked at KSS in my app the problem I have, it's at best, a single-digit growth company, and it doesn't meet my valuation criteria. Apple price target trimmed despite raised services forecast. Boy, Morgan Stanley cuts their price target to 156 on Apple. Apple's currently at 126. Well, that's not so bad. At least Apple has the look of a lot of the momentum stocks right now. If you look at a one-year chart of Apple, it was in a bad downtrend all through the month of most of January and all of February. It's finally leveled off here. Okay, I'm seeing that in a lot of these more tech momentum names. And it's still in a sideways trend, but it's trying to break out and start a new uptrend from this level. It hasn't done that yet. However, and it is getting their target price trimmed by Morgan Stanley. GM reports a 69% jump in China deliveries for Q1. Well, here's what GM stock needs, okay? I've done a lot of study on GM and looked at it from every which way. It has a good chart right now. It's definitely getting into the electric vehicle sector. In fact, GM has said they will go all electric. And yet GM has a P.E. ratio of 13, while Tesla has a P.E. ratio of 310. What GM needs is to somehow earn and start being rewarded with a more EV like multiple than just the standard auto company that it has been for all of these years, because I can't justify buying GM here at this price. It doesn't meet my valuation criteria. What has to happen? Well, that multiple has to expand. The equation for valuation is earnings times multiple equals target price. The earnings are pretty much what they are. They're not changing a lot at GM. They've been stuck at $6 per share for a long time. In fact, over the last 5 years, their earnings have gone nowhere. They made $6 a share 5 years ago. So if EV is more profitable for them, if they make more money off electric vehicle cars, and if their sales boom with some big hits, they've got the Hummer coming out, the all-electric Hummer, which we talked about yesterday. There needs to be multiple expansion on that 13 PE that GM currently gets. Now, speaking of other momentum names, Netflix. It had a pretty good move yesterday, pretty good rebound. But you know what? When I look at the valuation, when I go back to what Tobias Lefkowitz is saying over at Citigroup, the price-to-sales ratio on Netflix is 9.6. What did I say? 1 to 3. I wouldn't go much outside of that. 9.6. And the PEG ratio at Netflix, or the forward PE, let's go forward PE, 42 times forward earnings. I just don't like that kind of stock in this market environment. So there's another momentum name that's trying to rebound that we can scratch off the list. How about Teladoc? It's trying to rebound. TDOC. Let's just for fun look at its price to sales ratio. I sold Teladoc. It was one of the biggest winners I've ever found. And Teladoc, I sold back, I sold half of it several months ago for a huge gain. My position had grown so large. And then I sold the rest of it back when the momentum name started to peel over. Teladoc has a price-to-sales ratio of 25.4. No, don't fall off your chair. It could hurt, depending on what kind of floor you got. 25.4. There's a perfect example of those elevated, big-time elevated price-to-sales ratios. No wonder Teladoc has gone from 308 clear down to 181 in the last 3 or 4 months. It's still a favorite of Cathie Wood and her ARK ETFs, but You know, she doesn't care much about price-to-sales ratios. She's more interested in future growth and really paying up for that future growth. I'm not in that camp. Fisker, CEO, teases electric vehicles. Well, you know, Fisker stock, or no, he's teasing a $37 price tag, which would undercut Tesla for his company's Ocean EV. Well, there's a stock, Fisker, that's been cut in half during this sell-off in the momentum names. I have no interest in Fisker. And I looked at another one, XL, another former high flyer in the EV market. It looks horrible. It's gone from $35 a share to $10 a share. Remember those hot EV stocks in January? Not anymore. We'll be right back with a good one. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, today we're kind of focused on price-to-sales ratios. I talk a lot about forward PEs and PEG ratios, but, you know, I like what Tobias Lefkowitz of Citigroup had to say about the overall price-to-sales of the market right now is downright. It's above the 1999-2000 levels. Now, let's go through. I have two great examples that meet my criteria. But first, I just want to go through a few stocks in the news today. Okay, Snap is in the news today. You know all about Snap. They've never made any money. Their price-to-sales ratio, and you can look this up on the app, 34 times price-to-sales. What did I say? Stay in the 1, 2, 3 area, 34 times price to sales. But it's getting an upgrade today. Okay, not by me. The Chinese stocks are under tremendous pressure today. I don't own them anymore. Tencent Holdings has a big seller today, and that stock's getting crushed. Li Auto falls after announcing convertible note offering. Now, we own Li Auto. We sold Li Auto. We wrote an article for recently for Seeking Alpha, which listed all of our sales. And once they put in all of my sales, my rank overall and tip ranks went up to 288 out of 7,800 and some odd because they hadn't factored in my sales yet. Li Auto, LI, price to sales ratio, 8. What did I say? 1 to 3. Somewhere in there. Okay, Roku. I saw the first good action in Roku yesterday in a long, long time. Price to sales on Roku? Okay, here you go. I hate to do this to you, but Roku's price to sales ratio is 26. Tobias is right. Penn National Gaming. Another stock that I recently sold. Let's do DraftKings instead. Let's see where DraftKings. These are favorites of these, you know, these innovation ETFs. DraftKings is a big hold over at the ARK funds. 41 times sales. It gets the record for today. That's the highest one yet. How about Mercado Libre? That's the Amazon of South America. They're going into Mexico in a big way. Price to sales, 19.4. I'm going to cry. I don't own any of these, but I'm still going to cry. Coupang, which just went public. That's the Korean version of Amazon or equivalent of Amazon. Coupang, price to sales, 6.7. Well, let's do one that does fit, all right? I noticed a stock today that I've been watching. They had a good earnings report, and this stock meets all my criteria. The name of the stock, SGH, is Smart Global Holdings. They are kind of in the storage business, but computer storage, not where you store old couches and photographs that you're never going to look at again and fishing poles you haven't used in 27 years. All kinds of stuff in those storage lockers. Sometimes there's good stuff, too. You never know. But anyways, let's look at SGH. Well, let's begin with price-to-sales ratio, 1.06. Bingo, finally. Now let's look at the PEG ratio. Well, SGH is currently trading at 12 times forward earnings with a 21% growth rate. That means it's trading at a PEG ratio of less than 1, 0.55. How about that? Do you know how many rocks I had to look under to find one like that? I looked under 100 rocks at least today. Stocks in the news. I got blisters on my fingers, said John Lennon. Anyways, I've got it meets my valuation criteria. It's I require 80% or more upside potential over the next 5 years in a stock. SGH has 100% potential. Not underline the word potential. They've got to meet these estimates that the analysts have come up with out there. But, you know, price-to-sales ratio, 1.06. Price-to-cash flow, which is similar to P.E. ratio, 12.4. It meets my valuation. Now, how about momentum? Look, I could sit here all day long and find you stocks that are trading at one-time sales. And they're dead in the water. They're going nowhere. It's not hard to find price-to-sales ratios of 1 or under 1 even, some cases. They're, for the most part, lousy stocks. That's why I require that momentum to be involved, too. Well, Smart Global hitting a new all-time high today after their earnings report. How about that? Momentum grade of A. Well, A-plus is the only better one. It's up 111% over the last 12 months. Market's up 53%. This is not a recommendation. You know that. It's an example. If you're going to teach a lesson on price-to-sales ratio, darn it, you better give me a good example at the end of something that meets your strict criteria, Gunderson. Smart Global, however, is a very small stock. It's $1.3 billion. That puts it down in the small cap, even almost micro-cap range. Very aggressive. Over the last 5 years, they've been growing their earnings by 32% per year. It's currently ranked number 257 out of 5,770. There. You didn't think I could do it, did you? Find a stock that meets all my stringent criteria in a market that is at very, very lofty levels right now. Boy, am I glad. I'm unconstrained. I hope you're unconstrained. I hope your money manager is unconstrained. I hope you're not going to get caught. We already got caught January, February. If you kept doing what you were doing all the last year, you're taking a big hit. If you listened to Gunderson, you got off the tracks before it got too bad. Well, mind your price to sales, mind your pay ratios, your forward PEs, or let us do it. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Talk to one of my advisors. We also have the newsletter. I'm going to send out the newsletter on Thursdays from now on, or Friday morning. I'm going to change my Thursday. I'm going to write the newsletter. We're going to send it out Friday morning. You better sign up for it if you're not getting it. We've been right on top of these moves in the market over the last several years. GundersonCapital.com to get 2 weeks free of the newsletter. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.